Whoa, blimey. That was Supergrass with Bad Blood. That's from the new album Diamond Hoo-Ha, which is out on Monday. And they were in the Hub on the other day with George Lamb. I don't know what they were doing with Lamb.
What a hoo-ha about diamonds.
Mm.
What a hoo-ha. Maybe they're talking about the film Blood Diamond.
Blood Diamond hoo-ha.
That's a hoo-ha about diamonds.
Well, they could have tied it in somehow.
Leonardo DiCaprio hooing.
If they'd got their timing high. Yeah. Anyway, you can watch the video of what happened with them and George Lamb. Maybe they beat him up. Who knows? Or just tickled him. And you can watch their video online if you go to bbc.co.uk/6music. Hey, this is Adam.
Hey, this is Joe.
Joe's back. He's back in the hot seat, in the warm seat.
And I'd like to thank Garth Jennings very much for sitting in so very well.
Mm-hmm.
One or two people said he sounded a bit like me.
Mm.
Same sort of intonation.
That's right.
But less posh, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's good for me, bad for Garth. Yeah. It's good to be posh.
It's lovely to be posh. Nice to be classy.
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, are you going to be in a position to tell us some fun things about your trip?
One or two, maybe, yes.
Yeah, fantastic. A bit later on. And, of course, we have to resolve song wars, because even in your absence, we had song wars last week. Me and Garth battled it out, and we'll find out who won in this next half hour, I think. And, of course, we've got great music and Text the Nation, that kind of thing, coming up later on. But right now, here's Moby with Run On.
Little Mobley. Oh, there he goes, little Mobley.
Mobley, do you enjoy those ads?
Oh, little Mobley.
Do you like it when Ed Byrne says Mobley?
Yes, I like it. Is that an Irish accent?
Yes, it is.
Little Mobley, slightly Irish. That's not Mobley, it's Moby. He's the bald, snooker cue-headed singer who our producer, Jude, is in love with.
She loves him.
She loves him. I can't see how that's possible.
Give me a Moby.
He's not a man, he's a hairy baby.
Unhairy baby.
He's stubbly. He's a stubbly baby.
Yeah. He's a stubbly...
What's that?
Jude? He's got hairy arms.
His hairs have hairy arms.
Do you know any Moby facts?
I don't know any Moby facts. I know that he likes to sell his tunes to car companies.
Not anymore.
A Moby cliche.
Oh, come on.
He hasn't done it for ages.
Hasn't he?
Everybody sold their tunes to car companies at one stage or another.
That's true.
You know?
It's true. I don't know any other Moby facts. No.
If someone approached us to sell one of our stupid songs to a car company from Song Wars.
Oh, like a shot.
Like an absolute shot.
Like a shot. Wouldn't hesitate.
What about for a nuclear bomb? To advertise a nuclear bomb?
Yes.
Yeah.
To play out of speakers on the nuclear bomb.
Right.
Just to make it extra miserable.
As it fell. which song would be good for that one?
Any of them.
Yeah. Have you, so did you listen to last week's show on,
I did,
on Listen Again? So you heard the Song Wars choices.
That's right. Look, just in case any listeners didn't listen, I was away and Adam was co-presenting with Garth Jennings, the video directing genius man. And you had your own Song Wars. You had a song by Bad Dad.
That's right.
A sort of a rap.
Mm-hmm.
Long overdue.
Yeah, I know.
It's surprising that, you know, you've been working creatively with your father for 10 years.
Well, we both have.
As have I. And he's never done the rap.
I know. I couldn't. I don't think it's the rap, do you know what I mean? The one that we did, I think we could do a better one and a simpler one.
Garth had his granny
singing.
Who lives in Llanelli.
That's right.
And smokes Golden Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful description there of her. It's all you need to know, really, to paint a mental picture.
She loves smoking. And she was singing Elton John's I'm Still Standing, which meant that we couldn't include it in the podcast, of course, because it's copyright material.
Giving your song an unfair advantage.
Giving it a little bit of a nudge up there, yeah. So we'll find out what happened. I think maybe after this next song, don't you think? We'll resolve song wars.
Yes.
And now, did you choose this one, Joe?
Did I?
From Madness?
I did, yeah. This is a late entry in the Madness canon. Is it not from their album Mad Not Mad?
Oh, really?
Their sort of bleak album.
Yeah.
With a black and white cover with them silhouetted on Primrose Hill.
Yeah.
It's when they weren't sort of scoring at the top of the charts so regularly anymore.
It stopped being
anymore.
Nutty.
Yeah, the nuttiness had gone off a bit. It was like their mature adult album.
Mm.
But it's a cover of the Skritti Politti track, The Sweetest Girl.
Oh, there you go.
Do you remember that track?
Yes, yes.
And it's one of those rare covers that's better than the original, possibly.
Right. How are you feeling about Suggs managing to get Our House back in another commercial?
Has he?
Yeah.
You know, anything that keeps sugs in beer and fags is all right, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
This is Madness with Sweetest Girl.
Is he saying, I'm loving it there?
Yeah, he was auditioning for the McDonald's advert when he wrote that track originally.
You can't say that phrase anymore, though, of course. That's copyright infringement now.
He's saying, the maddest group in all the world, how could they do this? How could they do that to us or something?
Uh-huh.
He's complaining about Madness's fall from popularity.
Right.
You know, they've taken the nuttiness away from the Nutty Boys.
They've removed all
they've
the nuts.
They've removed their nuts.
Oh, no.
It's nuts.
Now it's time to resolve...
Yeah.
It's time for Song Wars. The war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test, so check it out.
And we've got a special guest on the phone lines, the creator, author of one of the songs. Garth Jennings is on the line, I think. Are you there, Garth?
Good morning.
Hey, nice to hear you.
How's it going?
Apparently we sound very similar. We got a similar intonation.
I accidentally slipped into your slightly breathy voice.
It's a sexy voice to slip into.
A sexy voice, and because normally I'm a cockney chappy.
You are, aren't you? You're salt of the earth.
Like a little barrow boy.
You run a pet video barrow in East London.
That's like, I got quirky ideas.
I've got some mad ideas for your video, son. That's how I normally talk.
Mad little 3-minute ideas.
Garth, thank you very much for coming and filling in last week.
I had the best time. And I got 3 hours off on a Saturday morning. It doesn't get better than that.
Don't flatter yourself. It was brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
You're calling yourself brilliant.
He's saying he had a brilliant time.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
I was brilliant, though, too, apparently.
You were brilliant.
My grandma thought so.
It's true. Your grandma was extraordinary with her singing. Would you just quickly like to remind the listeners of the song that your granny sang?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to play a bit of it? No, we don't do that, do we? We only play the winner.
Okay.
We only play the winner.
That's the way it is. It's brutal on songs.
Yeah, I do think, though, if I had to vote, if I was a guy on the street, I'd vote Bad Dad, even though I love Grandma, what my grandma did.
Well, it's not really fair, is it? Because Bad Dad was on the, even though many people may have forgotten, he was on the telly.
No, but it's a cracking song. I think even if you've never met or seen Bad Dad before, you'd think that was the winner.
Yeah, that's very nice of you. Do you really think that?
I do. I mean, because my grandma's brilliant, but that's just
trying to get some conflict into
this. He gets a week away, gets a week off in La La Land. He comes back, he tries to stir it all up.
I'm just trying to stir.
He can't come between us, Ed.
Drama is conflict.
We're solid, baby.
Thanks, man. Okay, I have the envelope. Do you want to announce these?
I'd better announce it, otherwise there might be some gibbery folkery. Here we go.
Cornish has the envelope. He's opening it.
Oh, look at that. It's not good for you, I'm afraid, Garth Jennings.
Oh, dear.
But that's okay. You've got a big feature film opening. Adam's got nothing.
Nothing can touch me.
Apart from this. Garth, you get 10%. Adam gets 90% for Bad Dad. That's a resounding victory.
Thanks very much. Thank you, listeners, and thank you, Garth. And let me tell you, Garth, that that is by no means a humiliating defeat in the canon of Song Wars.
You know, people say it's the taking part that counts.
Yeah.
Normally they're lying, right?
Yeah, it's true.
I actually think that the fact that I got my grandma on the radio singing Elton John is a solid gold triumph.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
And thank you so much once again for helping us out. And
it's my pleasure.
Don't forget, listeners, that Garth's film, Son of Rambo, is opening in 2 weeks now, isn't it?
It's on April the 4th, and you have to go and see it, or I'll come round your ass with me cockney, mate.
With your little ideas in your barrow.
Come on with quirky ideas and have you.
Throw quirky ideas at you. Cheers, Garth. Take care.
Bye-bye, Garth.
Bye-bye.
And here's our winning song. This is the Bad Dad rap.
I'm Bad Dad. I am the badder dadder. I was mad before. Now you've made me even madder. There's a hole in the roof, and I haven't got my ladder, because you borrowed it and failed to give it back. B-triple-A-D-D-A-D. I'm the head of the mother-loving Buxton family. Children got a problem, they bring it to me. I don't solve it, but I'm fairly sympathetic. I've worked many years at the Sunday Telegraph. They called me travel editor. It really was a laugh. I travelled the world from the north to the south, and it paid for my children's education. Now my children are fully grown. I live on the downs in a house on my own. I drink red wine like Coke you roam, and I listen to a little bit of Wagner. Tidy up the room, fool. Get your hair cut. When are you going to get a decent job? For goodness sake, pass the courvoisier. Yo, 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 yo. Whose yo-yo is this? I watch TV from time to time, but most of what I see is a mother-loving crime. Nigella Lawson, that woman is fine, but Ewan McGregor is appalling. Russell Brand, he's a loathsome creep. Davina McCall, she makes me weep. Simon Sharma, stick him on the heap. And don't get me started on Kapinski. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the hedge, and I'm carrying quite a lot of veg. Ah, ha, 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 ha. I'm bad dad, I am the bad dad. I was mad before, now you made me even madder. There's a hole in the roof, and I haven't got my ladder, cause you borrowed it and failed to give it back. I'm bad dad, I am the bad dad. I was mad before, now you made me even madder. There's a hole in the roof, and I haven't got my ladder, cause you borrowed it and failed to give it back. I dislike Fiona Bruce. It's very difficult to say why.
There you go. That's the Bad Dad with his rap. And that's the Song Wars winner from last week. That's two in a row I've won.
That's good, isn't it? Well done. You must be feeling pleased as punch.
Yeah, I'm quite. Yeah.
Like little Polly Parrot on her perch.
Yeah, I am, actually.
Her feathers all combed. A big bowl of nuts and some fresh water.
Yeah, I am.
Little Polly Parrot.
That's exactly what I'm like.
Soon you'll be knocked off your perch.
Right.
By the Fist of Cornish.
We've got to figure out what song we're going to do for next week.
It's already been decided. We decided a couple of weeks ago we were going to do a Kate Nash song.
Kate Nash, did
yeah.
we?
Do you remember? We were moaning about playing Kate Nash, and we agreed that we were going to do a Kate Nash song. We've now said it officially. It's been recorded in one of the stone tablets.
Sounds like the desperate words of a man who's already done a Kate Nash song.
Sadly, not true. But I think here in the Big British Castle, we can't go back on our word.
No, that's
otherwise we'll be fired.
Kate Nash. Oh, lordy. I've got to live for a week in the mind of Kate Nash now.
We have, however, been sent... are they called stylophones? Yeah, we've been sent stylophones, Rolf Harris's electronic pen-based musical instrument.
Did Rolf actually send them to us?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Because of our history with Rolf.
Yeah.
But, no, we've been sent them so they could come into play. What about Kate Nash with some stylophone? Will that work? Or do you think we should hold us off on the stylophone?
No, I think that could work. I think Kate is just the kind of madcap creative genius who might use a stylophone on one of her tracks, you know?
Yes, I do.
Anyway, now here's a track that we were actually talking about a couple of weeks ago. Do you remember we were saying you don't get many sort of early hip-hop... we were talking about the fact that De La Soul were one of the first people to sample white groups, and then we thought, oh, actually, you know, Afrika Bambaataa, he did it a little bit, and he sampled Kraftwerk in this track, of course. This is Planet Rock. Afrika Bambaataa, and do you say Bambaataa?
Bambaataa.
Bambaataa.
Bum. He likes to barter bums.
That's right. That's what we established, isn't it? And the Soul Sonic Force with Planet Rock. That's the single edit, of course.
Of course.
The album edit goes on for 2 days.
Tell me something I don't already know.
This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. For news fans, we've got some news coming up shortly. But first, here's a track from The Tubes. This is Don't Touch Me There. Here it is. Coming up now.
The Tubes with Don't Touch Me There. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Happy Saturday morning. Even though you may be aware that the world is ending this weekend. It's Easter, the time when Christ is due to return. But this year he won't, because we've all been naughty. And as you can see from the weather, it may all be over.
What are you talking about?
Well, it's apocalyptical, isn't it?
The weather?
There was hail yesterday.
Oh, right.
Then sun, then it went pitch dark.
It's Al Gore's fault.
It's all Al Gore's fault. Thanks very much. But now it's time for the news. Red. By Nicky Cardwell.
That's the Black Keys there with Strange Times. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's Saturday morning. It's not a very nice day here in London. I don't know what it's like where you are. I hope it's nicer, listeners, than it is where we are, because it's yucky. I cycled in this morning. You know, I like to cycle whenever I can. But it was one of the most unpleasant cycle journeys I've had for quite a long time. It was like riding up a vertical, disgusting mountain. With water, cold water being blown in my face. It was grim. And then last night, I saw some program with Andrew Gilligan. You know, the weapons of mass destruction, whistleblowing dossier man. Doing a thing all about how, basically, if you cycle in London, you're just going to get killed at some stage by a lorry, a large lorry. Because there's so many more cyclists on the street. It's gone up 80%.
It's a subject I covered in my public transport song some weeks ago.
Is it?
Lyrically, yeah.
What did you
remember?
No, I don't.
The song ended with a pion. Is that a correct word?
A pion.
P-A-E-A-N.
Pion.
To do, you know, about should I buy a bike, but I'll just get squashed by a lorry.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Weeks ahead of Gilligan.
There you go.
Much more responsive to the current zeitgeist.
You should have done it, yeah.
That sluggish old whistle-blowing Gilligan's Island.
I know, it was a little bit of a stupid programme. Because the upshot of it was you've got to cycle carefully, which, you know, any responsible cyclist could tell you.
Apart from David Cameron, the leader of the Conservative Party, spotted running red lights this week. Bit of a gaff, bit of a boo-boo.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
On his bike?
Turned right when should have gone left or something like that.
Every cyclist knows that the lights are a guideline. It's not.
Guidelines.
Guidelines, exactly. That's what they are.
The sort of concealed logic is that because they're being good for the environment, they should be allowed a little bit of latitude.
That's right. It's not concealed at all. Everyone wears that with pride.
Yeah.
As their little logic jacket. Yeah. No, I agree with you. Yeah, you feel a little bit indignant.
That's not my opinion. I'm just saying that seems to be the received idea on the roads.
Yeah.
I think cyclists should obey the law.
I think...
The law is the law.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realise the law was the law.
It's not a suggestion.
No, I think it is. I think, that's what I'm saying. For guidelines, for cyclists, it is more of a guideline than an actual law.
Good. Good news.
Yeah. That is good, isn't it?
You're fired.
Good, good.
Leave the big British castle.
All right, then, I will. Now, how do you feel about Air?
I like Air.
You know, they've just released their seminal album, Moon Safari.
Again,
well, it's 10 years ago that it came
Encore
out.
Encore une fois, c'est pas vrai.
C'était 10 ans que c'est came out in the country, and it's a classic album.
C'est un album classique.
So now they put it out again, and they popped it out, and it's got extra things on there.
Les choses extra.
Les choses extra, and you can listen to them. And there's a 1 hour documentary about them, about the two boys, the two men in the band. And I'm sure it's quite boring.
Well, let's imagine it while we listen to them.
This is Sexy Boy.
There you go. That's Air with Sexy Boy. Holds up very well there, doesn't it? Even though it's 10 years old, which is very, very old indeed.
Past it, over the hill. These days when you're 10... It's over. It's over the hill.
Best years are behind you. You should give up. Do something else.
Give up.
Exactly. And if you haven't made it by the time you're 10.
If you're not a Hollywood superstar.
Then.
Forget it.
Forget about it. Get a job.
You'll never make it into Heat magazine.
Exactly. And then your life's just worthless. Like a worthless.
Worthless worm.
Rapper.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. And my name's Joe Cornish and I'd like to launch an official complaint.
What's your problem?
I don't think I'm alone with this complaint. In fact, I turned on the telly this morning and... Is he called Phil Vickery? The chef from daytime telly?
Oh, yeah.
Someone, either him or someone of his ilk, was on breakfast TV complaining about the same thing. Just the general standard of Easter eggs.
Oh, right.
It's Easter weekend.
Yeah.
Easter eggs. If you go into a major supermarket, there are literally entire aisles, like walls of a fortress built of Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly Cadbury and Nestle. They're the two chief egg manufacturers, although other eggs are available. But they seem to have pretty much cornered the market in eggs.
And what a delicious market it is, too.
What a tasty, tasty, overpriced, overpackaged market it is.
What?
The thing that really annoys me about Easter eggs, and Adam and I have talked about this before, is since when is it satisfactory to mount the sweets beside the egg?
Right.
When we were children, when I was young, Easter eggs would have stuff inside them.
Yes.
In a little packet, sure. But that's what eggs are about.
Exactly.
When God made eggs, he made them as containers for something. He did not mount the yolk beside the shell in a plastic vacuum park. Did he?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
No.
But now the big corporations are messing with our eggs.
They're messing with nature.
They're not content to pass a stem cell embryo, Bill. They're messing with chocolate eggs as well.
Yeah.
On top of the human ones.
Yeah.
By mounting the sweets on the outside.
Chocolate stem cells would be nice, come to think of it. Imagine. Delicious.
For instance, Smarties Easter egg.
Uh-huh.
A hollow egg two tubes of Smarties mounted beside it.
That is a disgrace. No. Has there been recent legislation about this? Because, I mean, certainly, in my recent memory, the Buttons egg had, like, a little sachet of Buttons inside it. Is that no longer the case?
I can't be specific about eggs, but maybe some listeners can tell us. As far as I know, the vast majority of eggs now have the contents mounted beside them.
I bet it's anti-terror legislation.
Well, let's think what it could be.
Mm.
Anti-terror legislation, in case the terrorists are trying to put bombs in the eggs.
Because they would do that. They would
That's exactly the sort of thing they do.
An enterprising terrorist.
That's devious.
He would, the Easter egg would be top of his list.
Infiltrate Cadbury's.
Hey guys, I had a good idea. You know Easter
egg. What nationality is that terrorist?
He's from all over. He travels around.
I've had a good idea. You know Easter eggs. We could put bombs in there.
He's German.
He's from all over the area.
It doesn't take much to get into Cadbury's.
No.
Just a white coat, white hat, one of those white face masks.
Right.
Egg inspector. That's what you say.
Yeah.
As you go in. Inspecting eggs.
Egg inspector!
And you're in.
Yeah.
Pop a bomb in. Bish, bash, bosh. That's it. Easter Sunday as well. You know, sensitive day.
That is a sensitive day. You wouldn't want a bomb to go off on Easter Sunday.
No. Bad, bad, bad business.
Yeah.
Another reason could be that children these days don't understand the meaning of concealing things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they can't see the sweets, they don't believe they're there.
Right.
They have to be mounted beside in a presentational manner.
Sort of goes against the idea of faith in itself, really, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Jesus would have wanted the sweets inside.
Exactly.
Have faith in the egg.
And then sometimes he wouldn't have even put sweets inside. And when people
complained,
he would have said, hey.
Sent them to hell.
And sent them directly to hell.
Do not pass go.
Exactly. No, he would have said, listen, you've got to have a little bit of faith. Maybe the next egg might have some Buttons in there.
Yeah.
Or some Smarties.
And since when are you allowed to package eggs in plastic vacuum packs?
Mm-hmm.
Right. They used to be in cardboard, didn't they?
Right.
There used to be a lovely folded bit of cardboard with an egg-shaped hole that would sit diagonally in the box.
Okay.
And within it, the Easter egg would sit. And it would be fun to have a bit of your egg, then reconstruct it, see if you could make it whole again,
mm-hmm.
wrap it in the tin foil again, and sort of puff the tin foil out. So there was the illusion of having a whole egg. Put it back in the cardboard thing, put it in the correct position in the box. It's as if you've got a whole new Easter egg again.
Right.
Can't really do that anymore. So my plea to anybody who's associated with Easter egg manufacturings is just pull your fingers out.
Ooh.
Rewind. Put the sweets inside the egg. Make the whole package cardboard.
And maybe even try some new idea, because I haven't seen any innovations recently in the supermarket shelves. I'm thinking, you know...
Easter egg innovations.
You could have so many movie tie-ins. I mean, they missed a trick when they released all the Alien films a few years back. They could have big chocolate Easter eggs there with...
There could have been a Passion of the Christ Easter egg.
Aliens in there.
Just full of jam.
What?
Strawberry jam.
That's a really nice
story.
Idea.
That's like great film.
You know, Mel, I'm sure, would have been on that.
He would have been on that.
He was probably stopped, luckily.
He would have had it full of lacunes.
At the last minute. Okay, here's a track that I've picked for you, listeners. And this is a classic by Talking Heads, which I loved this for years and years before I got into the crazy world of TV, Joe.
Right.
This is all about making a TV show, you know what I mean? Like a couple who argue over watching TV, and then they say, well, why don't we do like a TV show all about us and about our lives? It's sort of pre-imagining, if that's the word, sort of prescient about the whole world of reality TV. And this was from about, when would this have been? 1978 or 79, maybe, 78. This is from the Talking Heads album, More Songs About Buildings and Food, and it's called Found a Job. That's CSS. What does CSS stand for again?
Can't say ser sexy.
What, mate?
Can't say de ser sexy.
Yeah, that's what it stands for, what she said.
Can ser.
Can say.
Can say.
Tired.
Tired.
De ser of being sexy.
Oh. They're Brazilian, aren't they?
Si.
They're from Brazil.
That was recorded in the Six Music Hub for Gideon Co. on the 27th of February 2007. You wouldn't tell, though, would you?
No, that was well recorded.
Sounds like a studio production, doesn't it?
Well, I would think that a band like that, I just don't believe that they're that talented.
What are you saying? That it's all sequenced?
Yeah.
Really, like those buskers that just have it all recorded and then play the...
I think they sang live over, you know, they just plugged in. That's what I would do.
Gideon wouldn't stand for that.
I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying...
He'd unplug them. Gideon can tell that kind of thing.
You know, there's a certain amount of skill, I'm sure, that went into constructing all those loops and samples and playing over them and sequencing them and everything. But then once you've done that,
It's probably written by Chesney Hawkes. He writes most of the pop songs these days.
Does he?
Sells them to other groups.
Chesney.
And Howard Jones.
Chesney.
They write all the songs. It's true.
Is it?
It is.
Did you find everything you're looking for today?
Is that what, that's what they say in HMV, isn't it?
That's what they say everywhere now.
Do they?
Yeah, they say it in Zavvi now as well.
Do they?
Do you find everything you're looking for today? Have you ever said,
would you like a copy of Garden State for £4?
Yeah.
You the other thing they
you spent over £20, so anything in front of you is £4.
Carl Pilkington's Little Book of Worries for £2?
Have you ever said, because every time they say, did you find everything you're looking for, the answer was always no.
No, my answer is yes.
The true. Yes, you. You spotty man. Take off your promotional t-shirt, you spotty man. I want to see your pale pink nipples.
Let me rub your
like
bum fluff.
Glittering flesh stars in the constellation of your hairy chest.
I want to touch your sallow skin.
Pull down your stinky jeans, reveal your strange pale blue boxer shorts with a picture of Mickey Mouse on the bum.
Have you ever said to them, though, no, I didn't find what I was looking for. Can you please help me? Because then, presumably, they would just go, you know, what would they do then?
They'd
just
go, say, I didn't mean it, I was just saying it.
Exactly.
We're told to say it. Oh, what couldn't you find? I couldn't find an album by the Walker Brothers that I want to listen to.
Have you tried looking in the Walker Brothers section?
That's what would happen. Nothing more spectacular than that. You know what I mean? Like, they ask you the question as if some kind of robot is going to come and, okay, well, we'll find Findox. We'll call up Findox. He's going to come up.
You have activated Findox because you said you could not find something that you were looking for. I will help you find it.
And off Findox looks in the Walker Brothers section.
No, we haven't got it. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I like the sound of Findox.
You know? But I don't believe they do have Findox. I just don't think they've got anything.
Did you know that since they started asking customers, have you found everything you're looking for?
Their profits
have gone up by 24.6%.
Have they?
Across the board.
That's great. That's a good statistic.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I mean, I made that up, but it could be true.
Yeah. I mean, it probably is true. It must be true.
Because a lot of people can't find what they're looking for in record stores.
What do you think they would say if Bono came up?
yeah. Record then?
Come on. You get another 5 minutes out of that. Here is the muse.
Text the nation. Text, text, text. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Yes, it's Text the Nation time, the nation's favourite feature as voted for by readers of Chit Chat magazine, a non-existent magazine that didn't do a poll, but we're trying to simulate an atmosphere of excitement and importance around this thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's won an award as well, I think, this feature.
It has won an Oscar.
It's won an Oscar.
It won the Oscar for Best Special Effects.
No, it's not Oscar. It's not like an Academy Award. It's spelt slightly differently.
Yeah, with a K and an A-A-A-H at the end.
But it's won one of those Oscars.
An Oscar.
This Lyrics. Week on Text the Nation, we are talking about cop shows, yeah? Now, this is a fun thing to do. I'm sure you guys do it
Prove
at home.
Prove it.
You know, listeners, because one fun thing to do, for example, everyone knows, is to make up names of bands that don't exist, like make up new band names. That's a fun thing to do.
Fun.
Another thing I think is, which is fun, is to make up new cop show ideas, right? And that's what we're going to be doing today on Text the Nation, because Lord alone knows there's no shortage of ridiculous, stupid new cop shows on TV with ludicrous titles. And just when you think there couldn't be anything more stupid, a new, stupider cop show will come along. And specifically, I'm thinking about a show that's being trailed at the moment, which is called, I think it's called Moonlight, and it's about a vampire cop. And just, you know, and I was thinking, a vampire cop, are you serious? And this is hot on the heels of Dexter, who's the serial killer cop. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, he kills others. He only kills serial killers, though.
He kills, that's right, yeah.
What does that do with your moral compass?
Ooh,
sends it spinning.
Spinning.
All the way to the sofa for an appointment to view.
Anyway, that's Dexter, Moonlight. And I was thinking, vampire cop, that is ridiculous. A little quick search on the internet reveals that is only, it's about the third vampire cop TV show
sure.
There's been Blood Ties, Forever Night, angel as well, all more or less vampire or supernatural cops. And, of course, other cop shows in the genre, there's the OCD cop. Who's that?
Oh, Monk.
Monk, of course. Mm. The OCD cop, the robot cop, apart from RoboCop, we're talking TV cops here, right? Mm. So we're not going into movie cops, apart from, obviously, RoboCop. There was a RoboCop TV show as well, I think, wasn't there?
Sure there was.
But other robot cops, can you remember any others?
Oh, 619, that robot cop. He's a real one.
That's a great show. Mm. Holmes and Yo-Yo.
Holmes and Yo-Yo.
Not making this up. Do you remember Holmes and Yo-Yo? That would have been early 80s, late 70s.
Don't remember that one.
I don't think it lasted very long. Holmes and Yo-Yo. One of them was a robot cop. And his partner didn't realize he was a robot for quite some time.
I bet it was Yo-Yo.
I think it was.
Because it was probably an acronym.
Yeah.
Y-O-Y-O.
I think you might be right there.
For what? I can't imagine.
People could suggest what that would be.
There's only one word in the alphabet that begins with Y.
But Yo-Yo was very uptight.
Yogurt.
Yo-Yo was very uptight as a cop, you know what I mean?
And
it turned
yacht.
Out that the reason was because he was a robot. Anyway, let's see. Of course, there's the gardening detectives.
Rosemary and Thyme.
Rosemary and Thyme, yeah. So we want you guys out there, you folks, our friends, our listener friends, to suggest new ideas for cop shows, crazy new ways.
There's a lot of money in it. Absolutely. If you can work out the correct cop show formula and you send it to the Big British Castle, if it's good, and it only needs to be one line,
mm-hmm.
it could fit in the text. If it's good, you'll be commissioned instantly.
Yeah.
Within weeks, it'll be on air.
That's a guarantee.
That's a guarantee.
Asterisk.
And if it's not the Big British Castle.
This is not a guarantee.
Then ITV 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 will take it, or more 4.
Well, a lot of these cop
or
shows,
five.
A lot of these cop shows are showing on all kinds of strange little digital channels. You know what I mean? So there's all sorts of places you could get your new ridiculous cop show. So we want a one word, one sentence synopsis of the cop show plus a pithy title. Have you got any ideas there, Joe?
I've got lots, but why don't I? What I'd like to do is pitch them to you.
Right.
As if you're a commissioning editor.
Yeah.
But maybe we should have a bit of music first.
Okay.
Just to even the load. Is this my free play now?
Nope.
Oh, it's not fair, is it?
This is We Are Scientists with After Hours, back with more Textination after this. Oh, it's a little bit abrupt. It's quite rude, the way that just ended there.
Just left in the middle of things.
Just, you know, I was
showing off.
Jumping around, getting into it there, singing along, and then just...
Arrogant song.
Very arrogant.
Conceited.
You know, I saw We Are Scientists. Do you remember one time they were on the Brits or something, and they did a little video message because they couldn't be there to collect some award or...
Right.
Maybe it wasn't the Brits. It was some award ceremony. They seemed very arrogant.
Just like that song.
Very arrogant bunch.
I'm sure they're lovely, and that's very good. That's called After Hours by We Are Scientists.
Jude, do you love them?
Yes!
Oh.
And they're funny!
That's a new entry tomorrow on the Six Music Chart, which you can listen to on this very station from 2 p.m. Very rude, haughty, conceited band. Like Polly Parrot sitting in her cage.
What is it with you and Polly Parrot?
I don't know. I'm ill. Okay, cop shows. It's Text the Nation. We're asking you for your high-concept TV detective shows.
Did someone say that to you this week or something?
No.
Joe Cornish, you're like Polly Parrot sitting, in,
I wish they
sitting
had.
In a cage.
You know what the truth is? I didn't sleep last night at all.
Oh, because you're all jet-lagged.
I'm all jet-lagged.
You're
I slept
a
for 12 hours on Thursday night.
He's a jet-slag.
12 hours? When's the last time you slept for 12 solid hours?
Never.
I haven't done that for years. Oh, it was amazing. It was
what
like
kind
being
of
reborn.
Dreams did you have?
I dreamt about the new issues of Edge magazine and Empire magazine.
Did you? I bet
genuinely.
You did.
and the next morning my dream came true. I went out and bought them.
Oh, to have dreams.
Oh, to have dreams
so
that
easily.
Can come true so simply.
Yeah.
True story. And yeah, but then last night didn't sleep at all.
Right.
Not a wink.
I dreamt. I had a dream like it was sort of like Sweeney Todd. And I was Sweeney Todd, right? And I was going around collecting...
Was it a dream?
I was collecting chavs and I was getting them drunk and then I was murdering them and making them into sushi. What does that mean?
It means you're awful.
It means I'm awful, doesn't it?
You're someone who would be hunted by the type of TV cop we're about to discuss,
it's
says
delicious.
Joe, bringing
the sushi
it all the way
was
around
delicious,
again.
Though.
Was it? Human sushi?
Chav sushi.
Chavs is very, very snobbish, Polly Parrot.
Isn't it, though?
On your perch. So, here are some ideas I'm going to pitch now to Adam for new high-concept cop shows. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay, I'm going to get through them quite quickly. Sky Cops! ! Two skydiving cops patrol the sky for baddies who are attempting to escape from planes by skydiving. Whenever they get near the ground, they just arc their bodies and zoom upwards again in search of more crime.
That's good.
Can skydivers do that? They always do that on telly.
They can do it if they're still in the air. They
can't.
They can't go back up again.
Can't they? Because they do that in James Bond films. Skydivers on telly and film seem to be able to go up and down willy-nilly.
They don't actually go up. What they do is they stop dropping quite so fast, so it appears that they're going up.
I'm not sure about that.
I'm pretty sure about
that.
In
my show, they can go up.
No, there's gravity.
Okay, well, so you don't want that one.
I've got some doubts about
that
one.
There's lots of these. Speak faster.
Try another one.
The Siamese detective, Siamese twins, good cop, bad cop, disguises.
I like it.
Yeah?
Yes, you can have that one. That's commission.
Is that a commission?
That
roller cops.
Next week.
Roller cops. In the 70s, roller skates.
Seems a little bit self-consciously kitsch, yeah.
The fluey detective passes colds onto suspects, tracks who they associate with by who else sneezes.
I really like that
one. Yeah?
Yeah.
The fluey detective.
I really like it.
Is that a commission?
Because everyone gets flu.
How about this one? Sergeant Wiggle. Detective finds himself body swapped with a worm. Very slow investigation of garden-based murders. Communicates by forming letters and numbers with his body, a bit like in The Diving Bell and the Butterfly. Series 2, he gets cut in half. The other half becomes his sidekick.
That's nice.
Sergeant Wiggle.
I think that would be good for children as well.
Possibly for children.
Yeah.
What sort of crimes, though?
Oh.
Just leaving things out.
Yes, exactly. Pesticides, that kind of thing.
Mm. Bumper car cops.
Pesticides.
So is Sergeant Wiggle a goer?
Yes, that's been commissioned.
Bumper car cops. They patrol fun fairs and enforce bumper car rules. Many car chase sequences which always last exactly 4 minutes.
I don't think you need to call it bumper car cops. I think just bumper cops.
Bumper cops. I like it. That's why you're in the job you're in as a commissioning editor.
I get paid a lot of money.
Okay, another one?
Yes, I've commissioned that one as well.
I'm doing well. I've got four.
I'm going to put Bumper Cops on Wednesday nights.
Actually,
I'm going to put it on Thursdays instead of Mitchell and Webb.
Really?
Yeah, even though I like Mitchell and Webb, but I'm going to put Bumper Cops on first.
CROPS. It's an acronym.
Yeah.
CROPS. Farm Police.
Nice.
Central Rural Operational Police Service. Combine Harvester Chase. Fist fight in pigsty, etc.
Very good.
Crops.
And you can have a bit like Witness, you can have a lot of denouement in silos.
Silos, lots of being drained by grain.
Grain silos. Grain silos.
Is Crops a goer?
I'm commissioning Crops.
One more. Nightsticks. This is what? This is teenage cops. It's like Skins, but with the police. Nightsticks. Uh-huh. AKA on the beat.
Yeah, okay, because they're dancing.
Yeah. Teenage cop trainees sleep with each other and take drugs a lot, like Skins.
Nightsticks. I like it. And they could have those glow sticks, you know?
Yeah, they could. It's mainly, relating to their willies.
Oh, okay. Nightsticks.
Yes.
Who calls their willy their nightstick?
Young policeman.
Okay.
Is that a commission?
Yes, I've commissioned that one as well.
I've got about five commissions there.
You've got a heavy raft of commissions.
There's more.
Congratulations. Well, let's hear some more, because I've got a few as well that I'd like to pitch to you. Let's hear some more after this track, which you've chosen for us.
Yeah, this is one I've played before. One of our favourite musicians in the world, Adam and I, is a man whose language we don't understand and whose name we can't pronounce without constantly getting complaints every time we pronounce it. Mm. It's spelled E-U-R-O-S, Childs.
I pronounce it Eros.
Eros. Uros. Euros. I don't think even he knows how to say it.
I would put an A, capital A, and then R-O-S. Eros.
If you're listening in Wales, please tell us how to pronounce his name correctly. And please also tell us what the title and lyrics of this song mean. It's called, says Joe casually.
Our-a-hole.
Our-a-hole. Sounds a bit rude.
A-U-R.
I'm sure it isn't.
And then hall.
By Euros Childs. This is a beautiful song anyway. Here it is. Euros Childs. Skipping a little bit there at the beginning, but just imagine that was a Hot Chip remix of Or A Hole by Euros Childs, and forgive us for mispronouncing his name and the name of the song. And if you're Welsh, you can please enlighten us via email.
Which album is that from?
That's from,
Chops?
No, the one after it. What's it called? Come on. Bora.
We'll look it up.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Don't you worry.
Dear.
Now, we're in the middle of Text the Nation, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be reading out some of your texts in the next half hour, but now it's my turn to pitch a few of my new cop show ideas to Joe. I haven't got
it's
that many.
Borda, isn't it?
Bordeaux, yeah, there you go. I think that's right.
Yes.
So I was thinking about, I was thinking about a tramp cop. Yeah.
Yes.
He's called Sergeant Vagrant.
Nice.
Right.
Yeah.
And he just goes around. He's got an alternative lifestyle, you know. And throughout the series, you would find out little bits and pieces of information about how he came to be on the streets, you know. So it's got like quite a serious little undertow to the whole thing.
Right.
But he's, you know, working within the homeless community and stuff and solving murders and stuff. It's quite a serious show, but it's got a fun title.
Sergeant Vagrant.
Sergeant Vagrant.
Yes. Does he have a catchphrase? A hook? It'd be good to have a hook, wouldn't it? You know, Kojak's got his lolly.
Could you lend us 10p for a cup of tea?
That's his catchphrase.
Yes.
I mean, he's struggling with alcoholism and all kinds of problems because he's a real vagrant. You know, he's not undercover. That's the thing. You would think that maybe he was undercover, but he's not. He's actually homeless. So that's Sergeant Vagrant. What are you, will you commission it?
No, I won't.
Oh.
Because it's too depressing.
Is it?
I tell you what I will do, though.
No, but it would be not depressing. You know, it would be inspiring. And it wouldn't be a realistic portrayal of what it's like to be homeless. Mm. Don't worry about that. It wouldn't be depressing in that way. It would be very upbeat, and it would make out like all homeless people are inspirational.
You're babbling.
And they're out there
Why
by their own choice.
Why don't you speak to Jane McTurnbull? She's head of the community.
I spoke to Jane McTurnbull. She said it was a grotesque idea. Kick me
She's
out.
She's head of the communities and charities division programming. Department.
All right, then.
Speak to her. That's not a mainstream idea.
How about this one? Ghost Cop. And it's called Haunter.
And he's called Haunter. And Mike Haunter.
Mike Haunter.
Yes,
I like
he was
it.
Shot in a raid. He was shot in a raid. And now he's come back to solve the crime. And then after he solved that, he's going to solve other crimes. Haunter. Mike Haunter. I've got a bad feeling about this.
That's his catchphrase.
Feels a bit passé.
What?
Got any worm-based ideas?
Mr. Wiggles I commissioned off you.
Yeah,
Sergeant Wiggles, Detective Wiggles, whatever it was.
Sergeant
and
Wiggle.
And you're not commissioning Haunter.
You've been fired from your commissioning job. Now the boot's on the other foot and you're not doing very well.
All right, then, what about this? A bit like Charlie's Angels, this would be, right? Model Cops. And it's called Pretty Please.
Yep, keep talking.
That's it. That's all I've got.
I like it.
Pretty Please.
I like it. Can Amanda Holden be in it?
Yes, she can.
It's on. You've got yourself a commission.
She can be the hard-bitten, you know, detective inspector, the chief inspector.
Chief inspector.
Amanda Holden. They've got to report to Amanda Holden
chief
at the end of each
inspector.
Episode. Exactly.
Yeah.
Chief inspector. I like that.
Write that down.
So that's all I had, really.
That's all you got.
Sergeant Vagrant.
No.
Haunter? You're not commissioning Haunter?
Haunter's too derivative.
Oh.
Derivative of what?
Of other shows about ghost cops.
There's none.
I'm sure there are.
I don't believe there are any. I've done my research.
Randall and Hopkirk
Deceased. Yeah. Oh, apart from Randall and Hopkirk Deceased and all the other ones, there's none.
Keep your ideas coming in, listeners. We've got loads of really good ones already. Text 64046 or email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk with your high-concept cop show ideas. If they're even slightly good, they're bound to be on the BBC before you can say, I don't know,
poo pants.
Yeah.
Now, for fans of news, it's time for the news. That's Great DJ by Ting Tings. I just assumed Ting Tings were both about 12, but they're not actually. Like, there's a bloke and a blonde lady. That's what Ting Tings are, right?
They're both grown adults.
The bloke is definitely a grown adult. The lady is in her early or mid-20s, I believe. And that's not young enough, I don't think, you know, to be in the charts. That's ludicrous.
That's ludicrous.
They're way over age. Now, we're going to return to Text the Nation in just a short while, and we'll be reading out some of your texts and emails on the subject of new cop shows.
Can I just tell the listeners that the Uros Childs album that track was off of is Bordeaux.
Bordeaux.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good album. And he's got an even more recent one as
Has
well,
he?
Hasn't he? There was one after Bordeaux. He's very prolific.
Oh, that's right, with all the sort of... Is that the one with the flowers on it?
Yeah.
It's hard to keep up with.
And they're all good.
All worth getting.
All worth getting.
So while I was in Los Angeles, I went to see a film that's out here in the UK. It's called 10,000 BC.
Ah, now this is the guy that did...
Day After Tomorrow and Independence Day and Stargate and all that sort of business. Roland Emmerich.
He's made some of the worst films of all time.
Well, you might say that. Or you might say he's made some of the best films of all time.
Yeah.
Depending on whether you liked his films or
not.
That
would be another way of looking at it.
He famously made the most expensive student film ever.
All right.
I forget what it was called. As usual on this show, we tend to forget what everything's called. But it was a massively expensive science fiction epic.
Yeah.
He made almost feature length, I think, while he was at film school. And then he was catapulted to stardom with his exciting film Stargate. And he's got a new one now. And it's all about cavemen.
Is it a remake of the other film?
No.
No.
No. It stars cavemen and ladies. Yeah. And it's always difficult to name them, isn't it? If you're writing a script.
Well, do they, first question, they're not speaking English, presumably.
Yes, they are speaking English. It's a kind of big mishmash. It's so stupid that it's misguided to try and hold it up to any kind of historical reality.
Because I think the other 10,000, there was another 10,000 BC, wasn't there, with Barbara Bach, wasn't it?
Was there?
Oh, I can't remember. There was something like that. There was a film very similar, and they didn't even, I mean, it was rubbish, but they didn't, maybe I'm thinking of Quest for Fire with Naomi Campbell. but they didn't speak English in that, I don't think.
Quest for Fire, you're right. They invented a kind, they spoke a kind of invented language.
Mm.
Yeah, that's correct. But there are lots of other, there are lots of other caveman films, but this is quite the stupidest of all time. What would your caveman name be, do you think, if you were a caveman?
Well, the obvious ones are, Ugg and, Grunty. Yeah.
Go.
Well,
mine would be, oof.
Well, the lead in 10,000 BC, his name is Dle.
Dle.
Dle. Spelled D apostrophe L E H.
Dle.
Which is almost meh. Or brain.
Well, if there's someone called Dle, then there will be someone called Neh.
They don't turn up in the film. His girlfriend is called Evole.
Oh.
Evole.
It's a beautiful name.
Your name is beautiful.
A beautiful name. Evole. I have not heard that one before.
Put sausage in pocket. They don't say that. Another character is called Tick Tick.
Tick Tick. Is he fun?
Tick Tick. Tick Tick. Oh, Evole. Oh, sausage in pocket.
Is Tick Tick cheeky?
I can't remember. I can't remember which was which. There should be a character called Tic Tacs or Pritstick, but there isn't. And the baddie's just called Warlord.
Whoa.
Yes.
No, he's not.
He is Warlord.
Warlord.
They're very clean cavemen in 10,000
BC. And do they talk a bit like this in the film?
Yes. They say things like, we are tired. We sleep here. Yeah. And the four-legged monsters are approaching. Yeah?
Yeah.
It's not very good dialogue, is it?
No.
And you will always be in my heart.
Oh, so they've worked out hard.
They speak like they're on the OC.
Yeah.
It's very all over the place. They've got very white teeth. They've all got hair like Lenny Kravitz. They worship the girl with the blue eyes.
Right.
It's a bit racially suspicious, this film.
Is it?
It is, yeah. All blind people and old people in the film have powers of prophetic visions.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's a very Roland Emmerich thing as well.
Right.
But the point of this whole thing is to warn people not to see it. Just don't see it.
Because my wife was very excited by the prospect.
She loves a loincloth.
She loves loincloth.
She likes primeval civilization. That's why she married you.
Exactly.
She likes to live in a time that seems like it's the dawn of man.
She likes a kind of basic form of human.
Sausage in pocket.
Hairy man. That is why she likes me. No, I think she was excited about it because I think she thought she was going to get a bit of a mix of romance, but not much. She wouldn't have to think very hard.
True.
There'd be some action and some beautiful vistas. It would be cinematic and spectacular. Are those things not true?
Yeah. Well, it's certainly spectacular.
Has it not got any good bits? Because, like, all his films have got good bits.
No,
right?
There's one new thing he's got, which is mammoths.
Okay.
Mammoth stampedes. Mammoths helping you build the pyramids.
Right.
It all going tits up on the pyramids and the mammoths stampeding. That's it. It's awful.
Mammoths?
Don't watch it.
No, I wasn't high
on my
list.
Help them.
No.
You know?
Exactly. How much did it cost?
10,000 BC.
10,000 BC.
That's the unit of currency in
Neanderthal times. And in modern money, that's a lot, isn't it?
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't worry, it's all cartoons. none of the mammoths are real. It's the stupidest film I've ever seen.
Oh, wow, and you've seen a lot of stupid films.
Yeah, I couldn't even bring myself to make sarcastic comments to my friend. That's how insulting it was.
You sat right the way through it.
Yeah.
Man, what are you doing going to see 10,000?
Relaxing.
You must have been so bored. What kind of snacks did you have?
Goobers.
Yeah.
I always have the goobers.
What are goobers?
Chocolate-covered peanuts.
Oh, goobers.
Can't get them in the UK.
I go for those nice minty ones. You know, with the soft mint center and the chocolate around the outside. I forget what they're called in America.
Mints.
I'll remember. Now, here's Adam and the Ants. This is an old one, isn't it? Car trouble.
Text the nation. Text, text, text. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Do you know what?
No.
I think our listeners have just got used to us getting everything wrong.
Right.
We've got four things completely wrong so far.
What have we got wrong?
Unable to come up with the names of albums.
Yeah.
Just facts.
Well, that's not getting it wrong so much as just not knowing.
Usually we get one or two narky texts. Haven't got any.
Well, that's okay then.
I'd say it's a good thing. I think the listeners have got used to a certain level of ill-informed-ditativeness.
Well, you know, the other thing might be that there's just no one listening because it's Easter weekend.
It takes the pressure off, doesn't it?
Yeah. Now, it's Text the Nation time, and we asked you, if you recall...
He's just talking to me.
Yeah, I am.
Thanks.
...to send us in ideas for new cop shows we want. The more ridiculous, the better, you know, and we need a description of the cop show and the title. I suggested Sergeant Vagrant, and a bucket of cold scorn was poured all over it.
Pawned.
It was porn. Actually, I was thinking there's got to be some kind of porn cop as well, you know?
Yeah, but it wouldn't be suitable for this program, would it?
Not really.
Saturday morning.
You could have fun with all the titles, though.
You could. But that's for another show.
Apparently.
Here's one that's come in from Akira in Grimsby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is just a very punny one to kick us off.
Yes.
My idea for a cop show is a Spanish cop who is also a Hollywood director. He arrests very bad men and then makes millions from his own movie adaptations of their crimes. We all know you can make an extra 50% profit by sticking a based on real events line on a poster. The show is called Francis Ford Cop Hola. Yeah?
Yeah, you don't pronounce the H, of course. Coppola. That's all
that's
you need.
That's true. Coppola.
So it works perfectly.
Yeah, this is from Cheryl and Clive.
That's a good one, Akira.
A cop show idea. A postman and a fireman who are undercover cops sort through mail looking for bombs. It would be called Post-Fire.
Post-Fire?
Postman, fireman, bombs in letters, post-fire, post-fire, post-fire.
What does post-fire mean, though?
It's just an exciting amalgam of words.
Right, right.
Post-fire.
Post-fire.
Come on. No?
Post-fire.
No.
That's pretty right. Good.
Pete in Edinburgh. Bin men cops. The show is called Taking the Trash Out.
Mm,
yeah?
It's just taking out the trash.
Taking out the trash.
Yeah.
Okay, ready for another one?
Oh, that was just, that was it.
That's just a hard, fast, you know, it's a
cops.
Quick pitch.
I like that one, though. That's good. You could go through all the rubbish for clues and stuff.
Exactly.
There's all sorts of things. And they look nice, you know. Bin men.
Martin in Timperley has a copper who solves crimes whilst constantly fiddling with his music player, iPlod. Pretty good.
That's good, man.
Here's an anonymous one. Keep Off the Grass is the name of the show. It's a show about a cop who is not only a grass, but also a gardener and an illicit drug smoker.
Well, wasn't Andrew Collins' cop show a little bit like that? Grass, you know?
Was that a cop show?
I think it had elements. Oh, I don't think it...
Possibly. Here's one of my favourites. It's anonymous again. But it's brilliant. A one-eyed private eye, bringing justice to the mean streets of mythical Greece.
Private one eye.
Clops.
Clops.
Yeah. It could even be PSI Clops.
I think that would be good.
Psychic Cyclopses.
Cyclops.
Cyclops.
I like that.
That's
one.
Very good, isn't it? You could get Ray Harryhausen. Is he still alive?
Yes, he is. He just moves a little gently.
Yeah.
It takes ages to get him moving. But that's good.
That's Cyclops good, isn't it?
It's brilliant. And someone else suggested, actually, when I was talking about Sergeant Vagrant, of course, a better name for the homeless cop show would be Hobocop.
That's true. That would be a better name.
You know?
What about this from Chef John Twitcher? A bird-watching detective who spots crimes through his binoculars in areas of outstanding natural beauty and aviaries. That's perfect for the BBC.
Twitcher.
Yeah, you could have Oddie in a sort of minor supporting role as the chief, maybe.
Yeah.
It could be sponsored by the National Trust.
And it's all undercover. He goes around in his, like,
green one minute a beautiful rare chaffinch.
Uh-huh.
The next minute a violent stabbing.
Exactly.
Bang.
No, that is a good idea.
That is a good idea. Twitcher.
I mean, if you've got Rosemary and Thyme.
Well.
Sure.
Sure.
Why is it called Twitcher?
Because that's a euphemism for bird watching. They're
is it?
Twitchers, yeah.
I didn't realise that.
No.
Yeah, you know, if they commissioned Rosemary and Thyme, they'll commission Twitcher, surely. Bird watching, because that would be nice.
I think it's a shoo-in.
That would be nice, because there's two types of show. There's a sort of evening cop show that's a little bit violent and dark. Maybe the vampire, the Dexter type thing would fit into that evening.
And there's sort of family murders.
Exactly. And then there's afternoon shows, like the one with Dick Van Dyke,
where
it's a little bit like Quincy, you know, and he's a pathologist or something.
Interfering
like
old ladies,
yeah,
sort of thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's a good place for actors to get some work as well, you know? Everyone does those shows every now and again. It keeps actors alive.
Dave G suggests a show called Little Wonder.
Uh-huh.
A cop gets shot and is somehow sent back in time to 1997, where they have to deal with a foul-mouthed commander whilst being followed by a David Bowie lookalike trying to fob a drum and bass project all to a classic Britpop soundtrack.
Well, that's practically Life on Mars, isn't it? But
with Bowie in it.
But with Bowie in it. Good to actually get... But, I mean, because Life on Mars, of course, and Ashes to Ashes, they're inspired by Bowie tracks.
I like this idea of actually getting Bowie to play a cop, though. Mark in Wigan's got a similar idea. Retired pop superstar, sings the hits and catches the bad guys. Bowie's Law.
Well, Bowie did an album called Outside, which was about an art cop.
Did it have a crazy video game tied into it? Was that the same thing?
Yeah, what was the name of the cop? We've got to find out these facts, because the facts were ludicrous, even when the album came out. I remember chuckling about them. And so we'll dig out the facts of what Bowie's cop was called, and read some more of your texts out after this next track. Now, we're going to play... Are we playing this trail? And then after the trail is one of my free plays for you listeners, and it's going to be a track called Tomi Tomi, Tomi Tomi by Kanui and Lula. It's a kind of a Hawaiian thing, and it comes from a brilliant compilation that I imagine every ad man worth his salt owns, which is called Gimme Dat Heart Boy, The Roots of Captain Beefheart. So it's lots of music that either influenced or seemed to inspire Captain Beefheart, and it's amazing. It's got an incredible mix of stuff. I really recommend it, and the track that you're going to hear after the trail is one of those, Tomi Tomi by Kanui and Lula. Now here's the trail. Tomi Tomi by Kanui and Lula. And as I said, that's on a compilation called Gimme Dat Heart Boy, The Roots of the Captain, I think it's called. And I'm sure, as I said, you know, that's the kind of thing you could find any number of tracks on there that a dirty advertising man would stick on one of his dirty adverts to great effect, I would think. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, playing music and talking in between. What are you doing there, Joe?
Just sorting through some texts and printing them out. Oh, damn it.
What's happened now?
I clicked the wrong thing and now they've all been highlighted.
Oh, dear.
Not my day. I'm going to have to select them all again. God.
We were talking about Bowie there just before the track. And his album Outside was a concept album, which came out in 96, 95. And it was all about this art cop in the future. There's a new bureau that's been created to investigate art crime, right? And Bowie's character in the album, Nathan Adler, is going around deciding what is art, what's legitimate art, and what is crime.
Mm.
Okay, because I think he's not sort of saying, that's disgusting. I don't look at the colors on that. No, that's a crime. We're going to have to.
He's not making aesthetic judgments.
No, it's people are being murdered, you know, and Bowie's notion was like, well, I mean, you've got Damien Hirst cutting up cows. Where's it all going to end? You know, I mean, if someone wants to create a work of art from a corpse, from a series of murders, who's to say that's not art? Well, Nathan Adler, he's the one that's to say it's not art or it is art. He's going to go around investigating the murders. And that was the whole concept behind the album. It's a very dark album. Do you remember we listened to it right the way through as an experiment?
Did we?
Yeah, when we were doing the pilot for our TV show years ago.
Crikey.
And it was not an enjoyable experience, really, listening to it. But, oh, because it was really dark, you know? You'd think that something about art crime might be a little lighthearted. But no, that was not the case.
I think Bowie should definitely star in a cop drama.
Yeah.
Bowie's Law, I think, is the way to go. Suggested by a listener. It's very simple.
Yeah.
You know, him front and centre.
It would be a rating smash.
Well, he was in The Hunger, the TV.
He was in the Linguini incident.
But I mean, I don't mean the film The Hunger.
Oh, I see. So he's been on the TV.
He was on the TV version of The Hunger as well.
But keep those ideas coming in for cop shows. The text number is 64046. The email is adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. If we could give a prize away for the best one, we would, but we're not allowed to. Because those are the castle rules.
When will we be allowed to give prizes away again?
Never.
It's not going to happen this in the foreseeable future. It's ludicrous.
Now, has this ever happened to you?
No.
Okay. Music then? No. I was on the plane, coming back. And did you ever just take like random dislikes to people for no apparent reason at all? Just sort of fixate on a complete stranger and decide that you loathe them.
What kind of person would do that?
He was a man on the plane, and he had a cold.
Yeah.
And he was coughing, and he wasn't covering his mouth.
Well, if you're in a
really loudly.
Yeah, those kind of irrational dislikes really take hold when you're in a confined space.
Absolutely. Not only was he coughing, but then he was sniffing. Literally like that. Yeah. Every 35 to 40 seconds. Like that.
Oh, dear.
Okay, so that was the beginning.
All the germs.
I don't like that man.
Circulating around the cabin.
Then I noticed his socks. They were black with pink flowers on them. And one of them was inside out. This was a man in his mid-40s.
Yeah.
Black socks, pink flowers, one of them the wrong way around.
Poor bloke. Fun-loving, black, pink sock-wearing man.
I took such a disliking to him. I was in a bad mood anyway.
He's got a cold.
I thought, I'm going to stand up, I'm going to tell you to... cover your mouth. I'm going to just say something like, didn't your mother teach you to cover your mouth when you cough?
You can get arrested for that on planes nowadays.
So I started staring at him.
Oh, no.
He saw me looking at him, and I think he thought I liked him.
Right.
Because he started staring back, and he smiled. So I smiled. Because what can you do? He smiled. I went, I smiled.
And now you're married.
I think he fancied me.
Yeah.
I think he fancied me and he thought I was playing eyes. Little did he know, it was that I loathed him.
Yeah.
It was completely the other way around.
These are daggers, not love hearts, you ludicrous fruit man.
I stuffed my earplugs as deep as they'd go into my ears.
Yeah.
And tried to fall asleep. It pretty much worked. Then I overheard him talking to the hostess.
Mm.
He had a slightly kind of Ronnie Corbett in Sorry sort of a voice.
Uh-huh.
Like he still lived with his mum. Like he was slightly pathetic.
Right. Kind of talking a little
slightly
bit.
Slightly needy. Yes, exactly. That's absolutely terrific. But do you have any more peanuts at all? Could I have another little bowl of peanuts? Would that be possible?
That sort of voice. I started hating him so much.
Yeah.
I had to breathe very deeply and control my anger. But you know what? By the end of the flight...
You loved him.
I loved him.
Good. Well, that's a nice happy ending.
Mm.
Did his condition improve towards the end of the flight there at all?
No.
Sniffing?
No. When? He was still coughing.
12 hours worth of coughing.
Nobody else was complaining, though. There were people sitting right beside him. They weren't having a problem.
He really wasn't coughing into a handkerchief or anything?
No.
That's no good, is it?
Disgusting.
That is disgusting.
The air in those planes just goes round and round and round.
I mean, that's a myth, by the way.
That's a myth.
But they used to make public information films about that very thing.
Did they? Covering your mouth?
Yes. Cover your mouth when you sneeze or you cough. For goodness sake, that's basic etiquette. And people have forgotten that
kind of
thing.
I'd make it against the law. On the spot fines.
You should.
For spitting and coughing.
But it's difficult, isn't it, without making it a big confrontational deal. Excuse me, would you mind covering your mouth? There's no good way of saying that without it becoming a thing. Is there? It's like the whole litter thing, when you see people littering. You know, every bone in your body wants to go over and say, hey, come on, pick that up. But there's no way of saying that without being a prat man. But of course, that's not the right thing. You just have to go ahead and dare to be a prat for the sake of everybody's health and everybody's well-being.
It was
right?
The socks that really got me, though.
The socks were the big problem.
They were pathetic.
Oh, dear. Now, this is a band called The Who. Is this the actual Who?
It's not. We're going to play Idlewild.
Oh, Idlewild. Okay, this is Idlewild then, with Love Steals Us from from Loneliness, even.
Hello.
Oh, that's good, man. That's brilliant. That's All Right by Jim Noir. His album, Welcome Commander Jameson, is out shortly.
You know, we were talking the other week about the Chaoscillator.
Yeah.
The new machine, what I got.
Mm.
For people who don't listen regularly, it's a special sort of touch-controlled effects generator. It's everything from the old Korg synthesizers all put into one handy little thing.
Ooh.
It's all the rage.
Yeah.
And I've been noticing its use in some pop tracks.
Uh-huh.
There's a single by Estelle. featuring Kanye West called American Boy that's currently riding high in the charts. It's got the Chaosilator all over it.
Right.
And it's quite nice to hear a song that's kind of ruling the world using a little bit of kit that doesn't cost very much that anybody can use.
Is it, well, they might be using a more upmarket version.
I don't think they are.
Because there was a Chaos Pad that's been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. No, I think, I'm pretty sure it's the Chaosilator they're using. Mm. You can kind of tell because, it's the thing that makes it good is also the thing that makes it tricky is that it's got this touch pad to play on.
Well, that's like the Chaos Pad.
You can never, I think it's exactly the same model. Right. It's in the same series as the Chaos Pad.
Mm.
And you can't really tell what noise it's going to make because you can't figure out, you know, where the key is, where you're touching it.
Must be quite annoying as well, though, isn't it?
So you have, you tend to just do rhythmic presses of one note.
Yeah.
It's exactly what they're doing on the Estelle single.
Ah.
It's not the sort of song that would probably be on the Six Music playlist. It's too mainstream. And it's a bit too...
Well, we play Duffy and stuff like that, don't we? So
maybe it'll pop on. It's very good. It's really good. It's very funky.
And is the... So the Chaosilator is an actual object, right? It's not a piece of software.
No, it's an object.
Oh. Handy.
I repeat, if you put Chaosilator into YouTube, you'll see all sorts of cool films of people using their Chaosilators.
Mm. And it's Chaos with a K.
Yeah, with a K.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different kind of Chaos.
Yeah.
And the one with the C.
Groovy Chaos.
Yeah, cool Chaos.
Sexy Chaos.
Modern Chaos.
Oh. Now, speaking of which, I think we should more or less start wrapping up Text
Nation. Really?
Yeah.
But there's so many.
Have we got loads?
I've hardly got through them all.
Well, let's hear a few then. Come on.
Okay, here we go. Carrigan and Bungle. Renegade Irish American cop tackles youth crime with a gay bear.
Carrigan and Bungle.
Carrigan and Bungle. That's a good title. It really rolls off the tongue. It scans. It's poetically legitimate.
That sounds like one of your made-up name titles.
Carrigan and Bungle. Renegade Irish American cop. Youth crime. Gay bear.
I like
Yes or no, Commissioner?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Carrigan and Bungle. Kids, maybe CBBC?
Simon Amstel to produce.
Great. Okay, here's another one from... That previous one was anonymous. This is one from James from Surbiton. My idea is boy crab. A boy solves petty crime with help from his crime-solving pet crab, which he carries around in a bucket.
I thought you said boy crab. I was thinking, what the heck kind of show would that
be? What did you think I said?
Boy crab.
Oh, crap with a P.
Yeah. Boy crab is nicer, though.
That's different.
That's
good. I like the idea of the boy carrying around the crab in the bucket. That's a very, you know, nostalgic image. It's never been used for a crime series before, which surprises me.
Not to my knowledge,
you know,
anyway.
Good cop, bad cop. The boy's all soft pedaling. The crab, dang, dang, nip, 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 coming in with the clackers.
And the crab nipping. Can speak then?
Who knows?
Maybe he just uses his nippers.
James from
And the boy says, listen, don't make me put the crab on you.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe.
Nip, nip, nip.
It's like sort of waterboarding.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Put the bucket over someone's head, the crab's in there.
I'd say it's worse than waterboarding.
It's worse than waterboarding.
You know, they wouldn't let crabs in Guantanamo.
No.
Because they'd say, that's going too far.
Mm.
That's too far.
Patrick in Streatham offers Elephant and Castle. Brackets deceased. The ghosts of Roy Castle and an elephant solve crimes in South London.
Well, that's insane. I'm not commissioning.
No,
that.
That's good.
It's good. There's something good about it. I'm not going to deny that.
You flicking through the channels, you saw the ghosts of Roy Castle and an elephant.
It'll happen.
Making their way through South London.
Give it 10 years and I will commission it.
Chris in Tooting offers the following text. Helicopters. Enough said.
Yeah. That's a good one, Chris.
Okay, Matt suggests cops. C-O-P-S-E. Cops. Based at a police station in a big wood. Sample episodes. Log jam. Moss thieves. Woodpecker blues.
He's got it all worked out.
He's got it all figured out, Matt. Are you commissioning that?
Cops. Yes, I am. Again, that's a good afternoon show.
It's wall-to-wall cop shows on Buxton's BBC.
It's all already. How much worse can it get?
Pete in Cambridge. Judge Fudge. A West Country barrister who rides around Somerset on a penny farthing solving confectionery-based crimes whilst chewing on fudge and toffee. He always carries a toffee hammer, which doubles as his gavel when sentencing the sweetie thieves at the end of each episode.
There's lots of judge fun that you can have.
Judge Fudge.
Judgmental would be another one about an unstable judge.
Prefer Judge Fudge.
Well,
imagine
that's
the tie in fudge.
You could have the Happy Mondays song as the theme music.
Steve in Longman. No, Steve Longman.
Mm.
Suggests Inspector Moose investigates corruption in the world of high class hairdressing.
Okay. I was thinking maybe dessert, something dessert based, and you could
second series.
Every week he could work in a new recipe, like a different type of mousse.
Mm. Commission for that one?
No, I'm not gonna commission Inspector Moose.
Oh.
I am commissioning cops. But I'm drawing the line at Inspector Moose. Should we have some more after...
Let's have some more music, just to clear the
air. I think we should have a... Are we going to have this trail, Jude?
I love this
trail. Or is the trail gone now?
We can do it.
I'd love to hear, because I love trails. Because they're short, they're pithy, you know. Is this one... what's in this one, do you know?
It's about a Genesis documentary.
Oh, no. Genesis documentary. Well,
I think it sounds very good.
Sounds fun. Sounds like a lot of fun. Let's hear. You'll be listening to that, won't you?
Sure I will. Yeah, definitely.
1972. I mean, they're one of those bands that, you know, get dismissed out of hand because they had such a radical reinvention.
Just then.
After Gabriel left. You know, they became this very mainstream.
Genesis are a very important band that mean a huge amount to a lot of people.
That's true.
I mean, people are passionate about Genesis.
They really are.
And you've just peed them all off.
I know. I'm frightened now.
In one fell swoop.
Actually, I'm not that frightened because they're all so old. They wouldn't be able to hurt me. All the fans. I'm joking. Now, here's a track by the lovely Teenage Fan Club, and it's called It's All In My Mind. This is from their most recent album, I think. And I don't know how big a hit the album was, but it certainly deserved to be a big one. And this is the first track on there. It's really enjoyable and mellow. Hey, just a mellow, yeah, just chill. Just chill for a little bit. It's All In My Mind by Teenage Fan Club. That's lovely. The Fannies from the album Man Made. I think that was their last
album. Frightful thing to say.
It's a nice thing to say. That was called It's All In My Mind. You're listening to Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, and right now...
Text the Nation. Text, 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 text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
I always forget how the... You know, the words of the jingle. So I say, right now, thinking that it's going to say, it's time for song. You know what I mean? But then I get it wrong. So I say, right now, text the nation.
I think people are used to forgetting things wrongness.
No, they think this show is slick, man.
Do they?
They think it's very slick.
Then they're living in a world of constant upset and disappointment.
That's true, isn't it?
Thanks to everybody who's sent in their ideas for cop shows. Together we're going to change the face of BBC One, the nation's channel.
We've commissioned...
The channel that unifies... The country.
Yeah.
The channel that covers major sporting events.
Because the BBC, I was watching a thing with Michael Palin in the Himalayas, and he had a little audience with the Dalai
People
Lama.
People love the BBC all over the world.
The Dalai Lama was saying to Michael Palin, I recognize your face from the BBC. He watches the BBC.
But let's not forget that the Dalai Lama is evil.
Is he?
He is,
What's
yes.
he done wrong now?
He's a very bad man, according to the Chinese government. Stirring up all sorts of naughty riots. Yeah, there's everybody thinking that he's the most wonderful, peaceful man in the world.
Yeah.
But no, the Chinese government have revealed him to be the sod that he is.
A dirty...
A nasty terrorist man.
That's according
now,
to the Chinese government.
Now, of course, we are here at the Big British Cultural, so we must offer both sides of the coin. Dalai Lama, naughty or nice. You decide. We offer you the choice.
It's out of our hands.
Take the Chinese government's side... Or the same.
Who goes? If you have to save one, is it going to be Palin or the Dalai Lama? If it was up to the BBC, I think it would be Palin.
We were talking about the power of the BBC anyway, and the fact that we're going to help them become even more powerful with a tranche. Is that a word?
A tranche. Well, a tranche. A tranche is just a slice.
Right. Well, you know, that's what this is. A slice. A
smorgasbord.
A smorgasbord.
Yeah.
A lot.
A hoopla?
No. What?
A brickbat? No.
A plate.
A plate.
Of shows.
A
new
raft.
Cop shows. A raft of new cop shows. It's going to be wall-to-wall cop shows on the new BBC One.
We've ring-fenced a cop show zone.
It's going to be an appointment to view.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here are some more ideas. Here's one from Chris in Durham. How about rock cops?
Uh-huh.
Geology detectives solving prehistoric... What? Geology detectives solving prehistoric crimes using fossilized evidence. Those evil trilobites. Better beware. Trilobites.
Yeah.
Is that a word? I've never heard that word before.
They're those things you... they look like giant woodlice.
Really?
You know? And you see them in the Natural History Museum.
Or perhaps Simeon and the Sunflower. A monkey... gathers the evidence and converts it to plant food. The sunflower feeds on it, solves the crime, points its face in the direction of the evil perpetrator of the crime. Come on, you have to think about that. Simeon and the Sunflower. Monkey gathers evidence, converts it to plant food.
Is this from the same guy?
Yes. Sunflower grows out of the plant food, slowly points its face
helium
in the direction of the
trilobites.
That's good.
Chris and Durham.
I think calling it rock cops is misleading, though, because people would be expecting pop stars.
They're two different... Oh, I see what you mean. This is about the first idea, the geology detectives.
Yeah, yeah.
I think rock cops is good, maybe, as schools and colleges.
Right.
More instructional than detectives.
Yes, yes.
But Simeon and the Sunflower, I think, is really strong.
Well, surely there's got to be something with...
Let's start it off on BBC Three.
Tony...
anything on there.
No.
Lily Allen and Friends?
Oh, they will put
your show?
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah. Oh, God, I haven't put my show on yet.
You see?
That's good. What's the guy called from Time Team? Tony Baldrick?
Tony Time Team Baldrick.
Tony Time Team Baldrick. He should have a cop show, though, because, I mean, that's essentially what Time Team is. It's a
Tony Turner.
Investigative thing,
isn't
it?
It's Tony Turner.
It's not Tony Turner. Can no one remember his name? He's famous, for goodness sake.
Everyone knows his name. They don't need to be reminded of it.
Tony Hawkshaw Hankinson. Is that his name?
That's the name. Here's another one from Ollie in Canterbury.
Tony
his idea
Burglar
for a cop
face.
Show. My new idea for a cop show. What? If no one has come up with this already, it's called Long Arms of the Law. Mm. The lead character is Frank Law, a man with slightly longer than usual arms, which aids his police work. For example, allowing him to reach evidence that is on high shelves and catch criminals at a slightly greater distance than is usually possible.
That's good.
His catchphrase is, "That's the long arms of the law," which is used frequently but is always found hilarious by everyone on the show.
That seems very familiar, that idea. That's a good idea. Maybe it's familiar because it's one of those ideas that should be on TV right now.
Commissioning that one, Commissioner?
Yes, I am commissioning
that. How many have we got commissioned so far? 20?
25.
How long are they on average? An hour. They usually run an hour.
They're at least an hour.
That's 20 hours of cop shows. That's great.
Good,
enough days in the week.
And we can repeat all these as well.
All of them.
Ad infinitum.
On a loop.
Ad nauseam.
Got a cop show channel. Tony BBC Cops.
Tony Robinson. Although I think you should consider Tony Hawkshaw Hedgemaster. That's the name.
John Greenfield has this idea. In a nightmarish future dystopia where humans have been trapped in slavery by the New World Order, only an ostrich can save the world.
That's just silly, isn't it? What's that called?
Doesn't have a name.
Doesn't even have a name? It's just, you read out his little screed of nonsense.
I thought it was very evocative.
How come that one didn't get filtered out? Let's see.
Nightmarish dystopia.
What the heck are you doing?
Come on.
Thanks, John Greenfield.
You lack imagination, Adam Buxton.
He hasn't even given it. It's like it's not even related to Text the Nation. He's just emailed this in.
Of course it is. It's an ostrich solving
crime.
Oh,
no, it says subject, ostrich
yeah.
cop.
There you go.
2000.
It's probably what it's called, ostrich cop.
It's called ostrich cop 2078 AD.
There you go.
That is. I'm not commissioning
that. Little faith.
I'm not commissioning.
Well, I'm putting that on the Corns channel.
Are you?
And I'm raking in the rootings.
Okay, last one before the news.
Raking in the ratings.
Uh-huh.
That's what I meant to say. Peter Fletcher. He has an idea. Let me just have a little look at this. For a frequent flyer who's a detective, mm-hmm. he always seems to be on long-haul flights when someone's murdered. But before the seatbelt sign has been turned off, he solved the case, exposed the contorted motives of the murderer. Usually some trivial thing triggers the crime like an inside-out sock.
Right.
He's riffing on my story there.
Yeah.
He's got some titles. Murder at 30,000 feet.
Not bad.
The Flying Detective.
I like it better.
Death Has Wings. Sky Sleuth.
Sky Sleuth.
Ready, Jet Set, Die.
Ready, Jet Set,
And
die.
Then, I'm not sure whether it's a title or a request, the final words of his email are, kill me.
I like Ready, Jet, Set, Die. I'm commissioning that
commissioning
one.
Commissioning that one.
It's time for the news here on BBC
on
Six
digital
Music.
Digital radio and online. BBC Six Music.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it. That's The Killers. What was that one called, Adam?
Mr. Brightside.
Yeah.
I'm Mr. Brightside. Dreaming of me, of you. Isn't it? That's what that song sounds like. Blondie. Anyway, The Killers, yeah, they're not actual killers. They've never killed anyone.
Why are we playing them at the castle? It's a lie.
Well, exactly. That's what I want to
get them off the playlist.
Until they've actually committed a murder and spent time, in prison for it, probably life, then I'm not interested in what they have to say because I just feel ripped off.
You know what I'd like?
No.
I'd like a moratorium on titles of bands and films beginning with the word the.
Mm-hmm.
Two-word titles, one of the words is the.
Yeah.
The Mist, The Killers, The Vines, The Hives, The Bees. It's just endless.
Yeah, but then you've got all the bands who self-consciously leave off the.
Well,
like editors.
That's better.
And then it becomes just an annoyance, because the natural thing is just to say the editors. It's a lot easier.
What words are there that cannot be turned into the name of a film or a band by putting the in front of it? Left. Are there any left? The Whisk.
The Whisk.
Is that a Stephen King horror film?
Well, that's a noun. It's easy with nouns, but actually, no, it works with the It. You know, like, what about prepositions and things like that? And
there's not many words left.
The Under.
The Magazines?
I mean, there's some that would be ungainly, you know. I mean, there's a band called Magazine already, obviously. But, yeah, not many.
Not
I mean,
many.
That's the thing. What have you got against it, though? It's fun.
It's just very samey.
Yeah.
It just makes them all sound the same, feel the same, you know? I think we should push for more adventurousness in band naming.
But that's what they do, though, is that they define themselves not
the
by the
Strokes
actual name.
The Strokes started it, didn't they?
But the sound.
Didn't the Strokes start it? They started a whole nother wave of the bands.
I think they've
It
been,
goes in and out of fashion.
There's been a lot of the bands.
Absolutely, since, but yeah. I'm saying that they started a new sort of cycle.
Oh, right. Yes, well, because in the 90s, there were a lot of just one-word bands.
Yeah.
Blur, Ride,
It's a verve. Sort of utilitarian impulse, isn't it, amongst yeah. composers, you know, just to make themselves kind of functional.
Uh-huh. Well, Matt Johnson should have had the last word with the.
He should, shouldn't he?
But, I mean, the was always a horrible name for a band, though. Come on.
Let's Good band, it. Though.
Great band. Horrible name. Listen, man, I was watching the television last night. Have you ever seen that?
Why?
Have you ever seen it?
It's rubbish.
It's really rubbish. But it's very bright.
And dazzling and sort
yeah,
of hypnotizing.
Exactly. And I found that if I had the television on, I was able to do all sorts of things because there was light coming out of it and I could see
right.
in the room, right? So I was able to find things that I'd been looking for ages. It was great. And then while it was on also, I started watching what was actually on there.
Silly idea.
And it was the Biography Channel, one of my favourite channels. You're a big fan of Main Street.
I like Main Street.
Also known as Sky Arts, I think. Doesn't Sky Arts turn into Main Street? Never quite sure. Anyway, Biography Channel, love it. They had a thing about the Brat Pack on
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
There last night. I'm loving it. And you know, we're fans of the Brat Pack, right?
The Brat Pack.
Here's a fact that I didn't know. I mean, no, there was no new facts. I didn't realise they were quite so bratty as they were. I had no clue, because you and I went to see The Breakfast Club when it came out, and it was like the Holy Bible had just been unveiled to us or something. We thought it was... Very, very good.
We were quite young.
We were young. We were absolutely the right age to be completely have our minds blown by this film, you know. I didn't realize that Anthony Michael Hall was quite such a car crash of a person they were revealing in this documentary, you know, because he was one of the Brat Packers who I always had a very big soft spot for. I thought he was very funny.
He was a brilliant actor. He's amazing in 16 Candles.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And he went off the rails in quite a big way, loved to drink booze and was very haughty and arrogant. And after making quite a few bad film choices and having his career go on the skids a little bit after his initial flush of success, he was cast as Sergeant Joker, the main part in Full Metal Jacket. I didn't realize this. Have you ever heard this before?
No.
He got the part. And started shooting even with Kubrick.
No.
But argued with Kubrick about what Kubrick should be doing. And had so many clashes with Kubrick about how he was directing the film that Kubrick fired his ass.
Wow.
And got Matthew Modine instead. And poor old Anthony Michael Hall's career never recovered, really.
He's in something on telly at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean,
I think, in fact, he's in some sort of terrible cop show, isn't he?
Uh-huh, possibly.
Something like that.
But can you imagine? That is the kind of kick in the nuts that you never really get over, is it?
What a fool.
What a
Who would argue with Kubrick?
Kubrick, exactly.
What are you playing at?
And, you know, that wasn't... Yeah, fair enough, if it was Eyes Wide Shut, you might have been having a couple of arguments. But... Full Metal Jacket
He plays the lead in The Dead Zone, the TV series
that's
of
right,
The Dead Zone.
That's right.
And apparently he's in the new Batman film.
And
the
I'm
Dark
sure
Knight.
He's, you know, I'm sure he's learnt his lesson now, you know, and I'm sure he's like a delight to work with.
Yeah.
But for a long time, no one would touch him with a barge pole. And then after that long time, he argues with Kubrick and gets fired. What a nutbag.
What a nutbag. But he was amazing in 16 Candles. Brilliant in Weird Science.
Very good in Weird Science.
Superb in The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Very, very good in National Lampoon's Vacation.
That's right.
And National Lampoon's European Vacation.
I know. He's an excellent foil for Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase. now, here is... So watch more Biography Channel. That's the message there.
No, I will not. Stop trying to boss me around.
All right, then. Here's...
You're not the boss of me.
I am, actually. I didn't want to make it specific, make it explicit.
But I am rubber, you are glue.
But
the words that you say bounce off me and stick to you.
What's that?
Don't know.
Okay, here's the last of the shadow puppets now. Do you know about them, Joe?
They're, no.
This is Alex Turner from the Arctic Monkeys.
I've had enough.
This is his side project with the guy from Simian Mobile.
The Rascals.
The Rascals, not Simian Mobile Disco. Why am I thinking them?
He produced it.
Oh, okay, there you go. And this is The Age of Understatement, so this is good stuff. Check it out. So there you go. That's the last of the Shadow Puppets. So if you're a Shadow Puppets fan...
That's it. That's the last hurrah.
That's your lot.
The big goodbye.
That's The Age of Understatement. When's that album out, then?
Yeah.
May-ish.
May? That's ages away.
It's exciting, though. We can all get really excited about that.
How long is Turner, you know, because no one stays perfect forever. How long has Alex Turner got in?
I think he's going to be a stayer. I think he's going to be around for a long, long time.
I mean, I agree with you because he's clearly prodigiously
talented. As are the rest of the band.
Yeah.
Let's not put the lead singer on a pedestal just because he's the lead singer.
Well, and he writes all the songs.
And he writes all the songs. Let's not put him on a pedestal because of that.
No.
Let's pay a bit of attention to the drummer.
Well, you know what? The drummer is... extraordinary. When I saw them,
what was I saying?
Last year, he is a little powerhouse man. He's incredible. They are a fantastic band. I'm talking about the Monkees there, but Last of the Shadow Puppets sound pretty amazing too.
I had another couple of cop shows that I never pitched to you.
Oh, go on.
Is this wrong, Jude?
No, go for it.
Blenders.
Blenders
with an L.
Yeah.
Blenders.
Mm-hmm.
You know the advert for tax credit where the man has painted his body in such a way that he blends into the background?
Yeah.
Okay, there are a bunch of cops that do that. But
Blended.
This is the twist, right, okay. Commissioning Editor?
Right.
At the beginning of the scene, they're not in the space which they're going to blend into. So it's just a bunch of people chatting. One of them, half of their body's painted red with half a letterbox on it.
Mm-hmm.
The other half is painted like bricks. You're waiting for them to enter an environment in which they will blend into which.
Right.
That keeps you watching for the first few minutes. And then there's a middle of a chase. Suddenly, it's the sound effect. They blend into the background.
Do the sound effect again.
Boom.
Oh.
So we could work on that.
Yeah.
There's one that's, for instance, painted like the side of a lorry.
For instance.
For instance. That's his name. For instance. Joshua, for instance. He's running down the motorway.
Yes.
They're really fast. And look at that. He's blending into the side of the lorry.
So he can run as fast as a lorry as well.
No, he's glued to the side. Whomp. Glued to the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's called Blenders.
Blenders.
I'm not commissioning Blenders.
Why not?
No, it doesn't appeal to me on
your
any level.
Your station is rotten.
I'm not commissioning. I tell you what, BBC Four, you can do it for.
Okay. Okay, all right. Here's another good one.
Yeah.
This is just a way of recycling old cop shows.
That's a good idea.
You get an old cop show, say Miami Vice.
Right.
Play it at double the speed. Call it the new Keystone Cops.
Yes.
It's like old silent movies, you know, speeded up cops.
That's a good idea.
But now it's in colour with Don Johnson and the other black.
And you could have, instead of sort of...
Harold Faltermeyer. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
That's good.
I'm
it's
not
cheap.
Commissioning it, though.
Why not?
I just don't like it.
You know
when I said I liked it?
Yeah.
I wasn't telling you the truth.
TV's so tough these days.
I'm sorry about that, but I'm not... Listen, I've commissioned 25 other programs off you.
It's not enough.
All right? Just because I'm not commissioning Blenders. And what was the title of the other one, the Keystone Cops
I want to
one?
Be like Princess Productions, who make every single program on Channel 4.
Really? I haven't
noticed. They make them all.
I don't watch Channel 4 anymore. I only watch BBC 4 because I'm of a certain age.
Mm.
And also, I've got a very big brain.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah, so I only watch things like that. And I watch Dave... as well.
Do you? Well, there goes the brain thing.
So I can watch QI. Now, here's a track I've selected for you, listeners. This is from the Richard D. James album by Aphex Twin, and it sort of speaks for itself.
Can I just point out that my FreePlay CD broke?
Did it?
Otherwise, I'd be playing you some much better tracks than this.
Oh, you can't get better than this one, though.
But we've had to hold off until next week.
I mean, I don't think there's a human being in the world, old or young, who could dislike this. This is Finger Bib. Ah, oh, it's lovely.
That's great. Aphex Twin.
Yeah, Finger Bib from the Richard D. James album. It's got a grotesque cover of him scowling at you weirdly. I saw a film the other day. What's the film with Viggo Mortensen, directed by David Cronenberg?
Eastern Promises.
Eastern Promises, yeah. Very enjoyable. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Boy, it's brutally violent, though, isn't it?
It is brutally violent.
Because you forget that Cronenberg's background is in horror when he applies himself to a different genre, you know, and then the horror training pops out at unexpected moments.
When, which is his gentle moment? History of Violence was pretty violent.
Yeah, but it's couched in sort of fairly dramatic, you know, normal, regular.
He's always things. About the body.
Yeah.
The body is a sort of parasite.
But there's good. There's some wicked violence in that.
There's a very good knife fight.
Yeah. Oh, a brilliant knife fight. Nude knife fight with Viggo's Julie's flopping around everywhere. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But there's a moment in that film, if you've seen it, where it's a scene in a kind of private club with all these Russian gangsters, and a bloke comes and starts sort of playing the violin. He's like a folky musician man.
Typical Russian gangster behaviour.
Exactly. But he looks exactly like Richard James, Aphex Twin. He's got really long hair and a creepy little beard, and he's sort of slightly ginger. You should check it out if you haven't seen that film. It's time for us to go. We're going to play one more track, and Liz Kershaw will be with you shortly. Thank you very much indeed for texting and emailing
us
today.
Yeah, we've got loads of texts, and every one of them was a winner. Sorry if we didn't get to read yours out, but thank you very much for all the emails as well. We'll be back with you this time next week, 9 a.m. till noon on Saturdays on Six Music.
Don't forget the podcast, which will be available tomorrow evening, Sunday evening, and of course you can listen again to this show in its entirety with music and everything at any point during this week. So take care, have a wonderful week, and a happy Easter. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.